In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start things off on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and you know the man. We played his song. He's about to tee off, but he gave us like 16 minutes, so we'll take it. He is Tim May. Hello, Tim May from Letterman Row.
What's up, buddy?
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm on the phone, though. This is Hulk Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother. All those Hulkamaniacs in here and the millions at home.
I don't care who Will Howard is. Put him in the ring with me.
Miss Elizabeth, 10 out of 10?
Huh?
Let's not get fired. Okay, it's a Friday. It's easy to get fired on a Friday.
Okay, I'll stop.
I just blew my impersonation.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
I can see Hulk Hogan coming off the top rope at Will Howard. Will Howard, who's about 6'5", 235, might be able to handle the initial blow anyway.
All right, write that down for a rainy day. Yeah. Which quarterback would be the best in a WWF ring? Write that down.
That is a good question. Some of these guys are bigger than you think they are.
True. All right, so listen, Tim, I mean, this is no surprise that he's the quarterback at Ohio State this year, right? I mean, like, we've been talking about it a little bit, and I've been like, who's going to be the quarterback? Is that? But we've always known it's Will Howard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a 10-minute answer and a 35-second answer. Which one do you want in that regard? Bottom line is he won a Big 12 championship, started 20-something games, I think 27 at Kansas State, came in during the transfer portal. Some people say Kansas State wasn't that sorry to get rid of him. You know, it's hard to believe the way this guy. But the bottom line is, in the spring he looked okay, but in preseason camp he's looked outstanding. He's lost weight, or more of like he's trimmed down, but he has lost about 14 or 15 pounds from the end of spring till the start of preseason camp. Stoned the ball with great authority in preseason camp. Has looked good running. He was timed during the summer running and timed as in miles per hour, not seconds, but running over just over 22 miles an hour. That's pretty fast for a guy who's 6'5", 235. And he's just taken up the mantle and become a leader in preseason camp. And it was competition going into preseason camp with Devin Brown. And, bottom line is Devin Brown's very talented too, but when you come right down to it, who are you going to go with? You're probably going to go with the guy with the most experience. Devin Brown's had one start that was in the Cotton Bowl when he replaced the departed, as in left, not, you know, the other thing, replaced the departed Kyle McCord. And then he limped out of that game like early in the second quarter after suffering his second high ankle sprain of the season. And so, you always felt like Will Howard had a step ahead of everybody else in the room because he was a transfer portal guy. We understand he's making nice coin through the NIL, but, you know, the exact numbers, who knows? I guess ask Michigan fans. They seem to know more than Ohio State fans about what Ohio State guys are getting. But he still had to do it on the field. You know, he had to assert himself and become that leader. And Chip Kelly and Ryan Day have both, you know, gushed at the way he has come along, grasped the offense. Now looks, the problem that was holding him back more than anything else in the spring was just not knowing exactly the offense, you know, all the nuances of it. And, of course, with Chip Kelly, there are a lot of nuances, including the occasional quarterback having the green light to run on almost any play, but also having the willingness to run. And so that's where – I think he really asserted himself also, although Devin Brown will do the same thing. By the way, I'm getting my 14th spam call in the last hour. I love AT&T.
We couldn't tell.
I love AT&T.
Well, go ahead. It was seamless. Does money matter? And when I say that, you know, you're talking about NIL, and just it's not too hard to look it up that, you know, Devin Brown's valuation on three is $281,000. And then, you know, you go back and look at Howard, and his is like just under $1 million. Does that matter? And how does that not affect a coach in college in football right now? If somebody's making $1 million, the other guy's making $250,000 to be a starting quarterback at Ohio State, how does that not affect?
If Devin Brown was the starting quarterback of Ohio State, that valuation would be a lot different.
True.
Number two, I asked Jordan Fuller, former Ohio State safety, way back in 2019. See, fellas, during my lifetime, the talk about college football players being able to share in the revenue and or make coin outside the realm of the football program, other than three hots in a cot owning their scholarship plus room board and tuition, that's been going on forever. I remember asking Jordan Fuller, I think it was 2018 or 2019. He's now safety, you know, with the LA Rams. But just if you had a situation where players were NIL and some players were making more than others in the locker room, that caused a problem. He goes, well, you know, it doesn't seem to in the National Football League. And he's exactly right. I mean, you kind of rise to and get what you're worth. And so I don't think that's even a factor as we move forward here into the 2024 college football season.
All right, Tim. So I'm starting to hear from
I thought I'd lost y'all there for a second.
Oh, no,
we have to digest your wisdom there.
It's 2024. Oh, okay. We're working on being a more polite show.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, here's the thing. If you're a major college football program, You've either gotten on board, which Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama and Texas, most of the blue bloods have, or you've been left behind. And, most of the time, you don't feel sorry for the guys who got left behind, especially when they've had trouble, when they've had plenty of time to jump on board. So I was going to mix my metaphors there a third time, but I opted not to. Bottom line is, it's a new era in major college football, transfer portal, NIL, recruiting, et cetera. So, you know, you either get on board or you get left.
The legend, Tim May, joining us on the Northumster Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can read him at Letterman Row. He's got the Tim May podcast. He's got Urban's Take as well. I don't know, Tim, have you picked up a fourth job since we've talked to you last?
Yeah, I've lost one. I mean, lost one of those. Urban's Take. Urban's going to be doing something with Rob Stone, one of the hosts there on the Big Fox Noon kickoff or Big Noon Fox kickoff or whatever it's called. So, it's kind of like the minor leagues. You usher these guys, get them ready, and then they, you know, fly out the nest. That was three different analogies there also.
Well, you're cultivating talent. That's what we're doing here. You're helping to build talent, and then you're seeing them go. It's going to be great when Ryan Day starts doing live podcasts with you every week.
True that. I just want to get on one of the Bryson DeChambeau episodes of trying to break 50. That's what I want to get on. That's my life's goal right now. Seriously, I love watching those episodes. They're great. Go ahead now.
All right. The Jeremiah Smith hype train has left the station. How good does this kid look?
Oh, he looks real good. But I'll tell you else who looks damn good is Emeka Egbuka. I mean, he's the senior in the group there in that wide receiver group. And it's really funny because in the spring game, I remember writing a pre-spring game story about, you know, people it's got some marquee value. You know, everybody wants to see Julian Sayin throw the ball and the freshman transfer from Alabama and Jeremiah Smith, freshman phenom catch it. Ended up Emeka Egbuka had the most outstanding catch in that game. And he looked really good in the scrimmage, I guess, this past Saturday. He had like three touchdown catches of some repute, according to Ryan Day. But Jeremiah Smith, as Chris Carter said on the Tim May show several weeks ago, you know, he had to wait his turn before he could start, you know, at Ohio State back in 1984, which happened to be the first year I started covering Ohio State on a full-time basis. And then when he did, you kind of go, why was this guy playing all along, you know? But Jeremiah Smith, he expects Jeremiah Smith to be a factor in the first game, maybe even the first play for Ohio State. He's that good. He's the first of these receivers who's come along since Chris Carter. There have been a tremendous slew of them, as you guys well know, especially in the last 10 years. But he reminds me so much of Chris in the standpoint of despite all the other things he is, both wily, great moves, nice, I mean, already physically fit, you know, to play the position at a high level in college. But he has that that great knack of being able to put himself between the defender and the thrown football. And I just think some of that is God-given, meaning you just have a feel for a game. You know, you've seen fellas come along, either in Little League or right on up the line there. Some of them just look like they were born to do that. You know, that's Jeremiah Smith.
Tim, do you tee off at 14 in a minute?
What?
Do you tee off in 1 minute? Are you teeing
no,
off?
No, I've got another radio show, but as I like to say, get in line, brother.
So, okay.
I can talk as long as you want me to talk.
Well, I no.
We can't do that to people.
I just have one other question.
I don't have an hour.
These guys
will definitely call me back. I'm not going to name names, but they will definitely call me back.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that our long friendship has finally paid off for something.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I love coming on with you guys, man. This is a rush for me, so to speak, even though I'm 70. When you're 70, you got to get your rushes where you can get them.
That's true, because you're waking up in the middle of the night. But that's another story for another day. Listen.
We already talked about not getting fired on Friday.
I don't want to get fired on a Friday. Chip Kelly's influence, like, how does it play out? I've been curious about that since he got there.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier this morning with another radio station.
Man.
No, the only reason I bring it up is I'm so intrigued by this fella. You don't even know. I remember in 2009, man, I went on my way to attend as many of the pre-Rose Bowl sessions. I think we had three with him at some point, you know, during the week. And I went on my way to be there at all of them. Urban Meyer went out during his one-year sabbatical after retiring from Florida, went out and tried to get out to, I think, Oregon two or three times because he wanted to see how these guys were doing things. You know what I mean? This was way back in the early 2010s. But this guy just you can just see that you can hear and see that this guy thinks about offensive football 24/7 and not in the way a lot of modern gurus do it. I mean, he's thinking, you know, almost run game first, because run game, if you get an effective run game, it sets up everything else. But this, I mean, it looks like Ohio State's going to have a very effective run game, not just because of the personnel involved, but because the slight changes he's made in the scheme and stuff. That's where he's, if he has genius, it's in that and in blending it into a big-time passing game, because they're not going to forget about these great receivers they've got at Ohio State this year. This is, when I say this is the deepest roster I've covered at Ohio State, I mean it.
Wow.
And as I've told you guys many times, they've had better players at every position, you know, in the 41 years I've been covering Ohio State. But as a collective and a depth standpoint, I've never seen it this way. And the offensive line's even coming around in that regard. But Chip Kelly wants to use all the talents available, not just have a cursory running game to set up a spectacular passing game. That's what's going to be different about Ohio State this year. And it will include, like I said earlier, incorporation of a quarterback who not only can run, but will run. And get it, will
yes.
run.
Nice.
And I'm just saying that Julian Sayin will run too, and so will Devin Brown. So couldn't think of anything clever to say about Devin Brown except he will run. But the bottom line is, that's what's going to be different. And I get excited when I start talking about Chip Kelly's offense, because he finds space for players, creates space for players in the running game as much as he does the passing game, and just trying to get them, you know, through that first line, get them to that second level, and then you're kind of on your own to a certain extent. And you just go back and watch his videos from his time at Oregon, his time at UCLA as the head coach. Didn't really get things done in the NFL in two stints, first with Philadelphia and then with San Francisco. But it did reunite him with Ryan Day. But that's a radio show for another day. But the bottom line is he's borderline genius in the way he coaches the running game in college football. So we'll see if that pans out. Watch LF 8 yards net against rushing against Akron.
Come on now, Tim. All right, Tim, thank you.
Maybe on the first carry.
All right. We'll listen for you not only here on 92.3 The Fan with us, but on the Tim May Media Tour as you continue to cross all – all lines and podcasts, dude, and over the air, dude, and wherever you are.
Number two, this is the number two team in the country. Maybe should be number one if you really study things, but they're number two with a bullet. And but you know where you guys sit. Y'all sit right after 97.1, the Fan in Columbus, on my pecking order. You understand that, right?
Tim, you know that's where my broadcasting career was born.
Exactly. That was exactly. And I knew you had roots.
I do.
I knew it would bring a slight tear to your eye I reminisced.
Tim, thank you for the memories, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, I'm now southeast bound and down, so I'll see you fellas.
Goodbye, Tim May. Thank you. We always appreciate your time.
Take it easy, brother.
All right, make sure you're reading Tim May, Letterman Rowe, super friend of the show. You always hear him on Fridays right here at Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan in today. He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tomorrow on the Browns Radio Network, I'll be doing the pregame show. That'll be over on WNCX. Just sounds great on NCX too, but it also sounds great here on 92.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2-3 The Fan. And then, of course, Jeff does halftime and postgame, too. And so we both look forward to talking to you tomorrow as the Browns take on the Minnesota Vikings. That's a 4:25 kick and game number two of the preseason. So you can lock it into the radio while you have other stuff to do if you're, you know, going around town. Just make sure you want to listen in a little bit there, too. And also, thanks for making us a part of your weekend plans. If you have time while you're around the house or grilling, maybe a little bit later over the weekend, you want to hop in on that, too. So just tell your smart speaker, 92.3 The Fan. And, you know, you can always listen on weekend mornings, too, because they're made for sports talk and smart speakers. So tell your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan, whether it's weekday or weekends. I love listening on the weekends. Barbershop, I'm always in there.
Absolutely.
You
got an ear for all these things.
Yeah, I like doing that. All right, so we did talk a little college football. The one part we didn't get to with Tim is it's still awkward. Like, everything about college football right now feels awkward. Like, having the question about, well, Ohio State's quarterback, NIL, has a million, but the backup quarterback who we know in Devin Brown, he's $250,000. And, you know, if he gets in the game, then all of a sudden his NIL's worth a million. And it is this bizarre world that we live in college football now, where we not only have all this NIL stuff and, you know, like, I'm starting to hear stories, a lot more stories that we kind of heard behind the scenes about, like, oh, well, I'm sure they're giving that guy money. And you would say it because you didn't like a program or you didn't believe that, you know, they could actually land somebody. Now it's legit. Like, I'm talking to families and people who have their kids that are, you know, getting looked at by major schools. We had Sonny Johnson on a couple weeks ago.
That was a cool conversation.
He gave us this great story about, you know, he's at a basketball camp with his son, who's highly recruited, and he's talking about the fact that he may have to leave for his senior year because the NIL is available in other states and it's not available here in Ohio. So it's weird. I don't like the fact that you're going to be watching high school coaches go recruit hard. They can't recruit the kids that are, you know, ninth graders anymore, or the eighth graders, or eighth and seventh graders. They can't talk to them, but they're going to be all over the sixth graders. It just feels really slimy.
All right.
And I feel bad for the coaches because the coaches are still trying to make the best programs possible they can. And then the other thing is, if you're in a public district, like, you're trying to keep kids within your own district. And so now it's all of a sudden you're begging sixth graders' parents and aunts and uncles and, like, hey, want to make sure that you stay in the system and you don't forget, you know, seventh and eighth grade, you got to make this decision. And so, you know, it's not only college, but it's high school, and now it's like, it just feels wrong. The whole thing just feels wrong.
All right, so all of this lumps in together in what I'm about to say, which is, it may feel wrong to you. This has been going on since,
yeah, but not the pressure. I mean, like, I'm talking to coaches who are saying, like, well, have at it. You know, you want to give a sixth grader a gift?
No. I'm on the college side of it. This has been going on forever. And whether you didn't like a school or liked the school, we knew how this went. We knew, you know, there are North Carolina fans who would laugh all the time about miscellaneous things that they were doing to get players. Duke fans who would giggle at giving Zion Williamson's mom a job inside of the building. Like, we know how this works. We know Sean Miller. We know that stuff. We know Arizona fans were looking at that and going, well, it got us wins. You know, I mean, we were laughing about Bill Self and the fact that the FBI was at Kansas for so darn long in Kansas basketball that I'm 99% sure they just brought property because it was cheaper than having to rent out a long-term apartment. Like, it's all been going on for so long, and the whole goal, and you and I have said this from the beginning, and I think we're pretty close to where we are, the whole goal is to get 60% of this above the table. Like, if we're living in a world where 60% of this college name, image, and likeness stuff is working above the table and paying players, that's a win. Like, you're calling that success. So, I'm fine with this. This is the world we should have been living in 50 years ago, especially when it's coming to the college area and 18 and over. This is the world we should have been living in for 50 years. The NCAA is the reason we weren't living in this world for the last 50 years. And the fact that they've continued to kick around this idea of amateurism, which was silly. So I'm there with it. Now, the high school side of things, now that's a different animal. And as much as, and I'm not speaking illy about this because I don't think he would say this, there have been coaches of private schools that have been finding their way not only private grade schools but public grade schools for a long period of time. There are coaches that I was meeting in those days, and I didn't even play football. I had friends who did, who were introducing themselves to me from high profile schools in the area. This has been that also has been going on, and the recruiting and everything else has been going on forever.
Yeah, no, I get it, but it also works within, and now it also works within your own district. Like, you've got to be able to, in a public setting, you've got to be able to keep your own kids, in their community.
But you had to do it from Jump Street. Especially living in Ohio, we know this better than anybody, and how good the private schools have been at football. We've known this forever.
Like, it's weird, though. Now, this is what's weird, though. Like, look at that from the Cleveland aspect, and then look at that in Columbus. Why is it different in Columbus than it is in Cleveland? When you think about, and in particular, high school football, right? So, like, DeSales at some point has had, you know, really, really good programs. Luke Fickell is probably one of the best to come through DeSales if you ever think about it, right? And then you think about maybe Bishop Watterson, and that's it. Like, for some reason, Columbus is able to do this, and maybe they just don't have the private schools the same way we do here in Northeast Ohio. That might be the bigger reason. Or maybe that it's just been inbred that, you know, like, you just, oh, we got to see Eds and Ignatius, the Holy War. This is a big deal. They can fill up, you know, Cleveland Brown Stadium to go. And so that plays into it a little bit. But then you also look at Hoban and how much success Hoban's had over the last couple of years.
Correct.
I mean, I didn't really mean for this to keep walking down the road of high school, but it's just, yes, there's, and by the way, there's something to be said for being in seventh and eighth grade and having a coach from any school.
Exactly.
Especially what, like, you know, like we talk about Cleveland Heights all the time. Like, it, for me to be able to talk to my high school coach when I was in seventh or eighth grade playing hockey or playing basketball. Like, I remember Coach Cappelletti coming up to me and saying, hey, what are you doing next year?
Holding camps.
After playing freshman ball,
yeah,
and going, Coach, I'm going to play hockey. I don't think I'm going to play basketball. But I always remember, like, my brother had played for him, and I was like, wow, that was the guy that coached my brother that just talked to me that said, hey, are you going to play basketball next year? And I was like, I'm sorry, Coach, I'm going to play hockey. So, and maybe that was not a mistake when I think about the guys that were playing at Heights that were just amazing compared to the way I was. I was good at defense. That was it. So, but that's not, you know, part of that is just feeling welcome and wanting to be a part of a team when a coach walks up to you and says, hey, I want you to be a part of the team. That, I don't know. Is that recruiting for a coach to walk up to you and say, hey, it's nice to meet you? I don't think there's that. Well, to me, that's not.
And
I wish it was that simple, but it's not. You know, it's not.
I mean, that's the thing with all of this, though, Andy, is this has all been going on for so long. And if you think there's been shady doings in all of this stuff for a very, very long time, and especially in the college scene. If we bring the shady doings to, 60%, if we're being honest, like, I think we would all do a backflip. I think the government would do a backflip. I think college football would do a backflip at the idea that even that much of it is above the table and that much of it is on documentation. Like, Because we know that no matter how hard they try, you're always going to have a chunk of it where you still have a McDonald's bag with cash sitting in it, or you still have a mysterious account.
I don't know. I don't think you have to have that McDonald's bag with cash in it. You can just.
It's still happening.
But why? Why do you have to? I don't understand.
You don't have to pay taxes on it. You don't have to go through any kind of boosters. You don't have to go through any kind of collective. You don't have to do all that stuff. It's just here you go. You know some of that's still going on.
You would hope that it wouldn't, though. I mean, especially now that you can let the world know you're making $1 million to go be quarterback at Ohio State. I just find it super interesting. All right, let's come back. We'll wrap that up. I want to talk a little bit more. Don't forget Hulk Hogan coming up at 3:20 today on the afternoon show. So on Afternoon Drive. 216-474-0092.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.